We are hearing the allegories spoken by Narada Muni to King Pachini Barhisat. And the point that we are up to in this story of every soul, Puranjana, every embodied soul within the material world, Purusha Prakriti Stohi, Bhungde Prakriti Janeha, is within the material energy, Prakriti Sto, Bhungde, trying to enjoy Prakriti Sta, those things produced of the material energy. And the problem with our attempt of enjoyment of lordship over the material world is that is obvious, and we know that. And the problem, simply stated, is that Krishna is the enjoyer and we are his servants. And when we step one millimeter from that position of being Krishna's servant, then atta eva maya tare samsareta duk, we are into the world of repeated birth and death. And therefore, Narada Muni is preaching very, very strongly in a very cutting and hard and harsh way. Harsh in the sense that he's unveiling the material situation very, very abruptly, very starkly. That is the word I was looking for. Very stark. That if we wish to enjoy the material world, then so much suffering is, we will have to accept, we will have to accept so much suffering in this life and in future lives. So Narada Muni is explaining this compassionately, because in pursuance, very much in a recent chapter of in the teachings of Sanat Kumar, that if we don't break our attachment to the bodily concept of life, then it is very difficult to gain attachment to Krishna. And attachment to Krishna is the goal. But we can no more become attached to Krishna without giving up this these tendencies for material enjoyment, for acting as if we were the center of existence, then one can light a fire while at the same time pouring water on it. The two do not go together. So we've explained this point over the last week and a half, 2 weeks. But there are other points that balance it out that also came. That if one has desires to enjoy in the material world, it does no good just to say, oh, from now on, and I've personally done it many times, from now on I'm not going to think like this anymore. From now on I'm not going to do this anymore. From now on I'm only going to listen to every syllable of my japa. But due to the modes of material nature, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has stated this, that these type of determinations, they cannot work due to the influence of the modes of passion and ignorance. As long as the modes of passion and ignorance are present and prominent, one will not be able to greatly progress in spiritual life. So if one has those desires, material desires, then, and just saying from now on, I'm never going to do, it doesn't work. But what we have to use is under guidance, we have to use our material tendencies and even our material desires in Krishna's service. And by being detached from the results and being dutiful, dutiful, doing it because it is under the order of the spiritual master. Doing it not for my pleasure as much as this is the proper thing to do. This is pleasing to Krishna. Then what happens is the passion and ignorance will be dissolved. Especially the more we can think of performing our duties, yatta pravata bhutanam yena savamidam tatam, for the pleasure of Guru and Krishna, for his satisfaction consciously, for their satisfaction. The more we become fixed in that consciousness, then the false center of myself, of material existence, it is dissolved. And in this way, it is said, I believe by Kapila Muni, that bhakti yoga dissolves the subtle body. All other practices don't get at the root of the problem. The root of the problem of a material existence is ahankar, false ego. Krishna bhule se jeev. We have turned our back on Krishna, and this is our actual ego, our actual identity is our sarup hoy Krishna nityadas. This is who we actually are. So when we turn our back on our actual identity with Krishna, then we have to adopt a false sense of identity, a false ego, which is the prime covering over the soul. So what Krishna consciousness means is to put Krishna back in the center, not me being in the center. That's illusion. That's illusion. How can I be in the center of all of existence? If you want to be in anxiety, think of yourself as the center of existence and try to make the world work according to you being the center of existence. This is the basic cause of anxiety in this world. We're imagining ourselves the center of existence, which is bad enough, but then we're trying to line up the whole of creation to cooperate with that false concept. What anxiety? Because the world, the universe, does not cooperate, nor does anyone else. Because everyone is thinking, I am the center. Ahankara, mudatma, bewildered by false ego. So this is the problem. So bhakti yoga gets to the root of the problem, and jnana yoga, karma yoga, they don't get to the root of the astanga yoga. The real problem is this. This is what Sutta Goswami or Sukadeva Goswami refers to, or rather Prabhupada, in entitling the second chapter of the second canto, Pure Devotional Service, the change of heart. This is the change that really should take place if we actually want to get the result that will truly satisfy us. And that result, of course, is Krishna Prem. Prema Pamarto Mahan. This is that thing that will truly satisfy the soul. This is being placed again, placing ourselves in our constitutional, natural position of being Krishna's, and Krishna being ours. And this is really what we are longing for. So that process of placing Krishna in the center is called Sharanagati. The return to our actual center of Sharana. And this is religion. Now, we're mentioning that this is religion because later on in the text that we'll read, Prabhupada will speak on the point of religion. And it's good that we have this in our minds, as a frame of reference. What religion is? It is the process of putting Krishna in the center and giving oneself to Krishna fully. Is that a terrifying thought? Who's going to be honest? Do I have to be honest? Say it and admit it. Yes, it's a frightening thought for me to put Krishna in the center, because what happens if he doesn't do what I want? What happens if he doesn't really take care of me? What happens if he doesn't protect me, provide my needs? What happens if I find myself on a ledge past my ability? And then I'll be all alone. And he doesn't catch me and hold me up. This is the fear of the inexperienced, not yet pure Krishna devotee. He hasn't fully given himself to Krishna because of this holding back. But eventually, if Krishna is very merciful, what does he do? What does he do? Whatever we're holding on to that we think is going to give us shelter, he takes it away. And then do we say, oh, thank you, Krishna. You're so kind for taking everything away from me. Harisha tadaram shanai. Oh, Krishna, you're so kind. No, we don't, but we have no choice. This is Krishna's mercy. Because if I have a choice, I'll take the wrong choice generally. Unfortunately, but generally. But sometimes he takes everything. And this is, and Yudhis and Parikit Maharaj asked the question in the later on in the 10th canto, in the 88th chapter, Maharaj Parikit asked Sukadev Goswami, after all, he's on the point of death, talking about a time when you really have to make sure of your shelter. Parikit Maharaj was in that situation. He was only a few days from his death, much less than 7 days, because Sukadeva had already spoken all 10 cantos already. This is right at the end of the 10th canto. And he said, why does it seem that the devotees of Lord Shiva are so opulent and wealthy, and yet Lord Shiva lives under a tree in what place? Have you ever been to Kailash? Yeah, I know. But you've never been there. I've never been there. Have you ever been? Oh yes, we went through this before. Some devotees have been to Greater Kailash, east of Kailash. But So Lord Shiva's devotees, they're wealthy, but he lives poverty-stricken, not even a house. And Krishna himself is so opulent. Saraishwarya Purna, complete opulence, and his devotees tend to be poverty-stricken and struggling. So, why are you laughing, Mother Vishaka? It's true. Can you speak from your experience? So he asked this question, and again, it's so important for him. He's at the point of death. So, and he was remembering that his grandparents, the Pandavas, they were Krishna's devotees, and they were in so much difficulty continuously. So Sukadev spoke some very wonderful verses, saying when Krishna is very kind to a devotee, he takes everything from him. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami Maharaj speaks about this in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and there are some wonderful purports on these verses. Because when Krishna takes everything from a devotee, whether the devotee likes it or not, all he can do is hold on tightly to the lotus feet of Krishna, and that will save him. And this is what we are meant to do, and this is what we have to learn, to hold on tightly to the lotus feet of Krishna and not accept any other shelter. No matter what the promise is of that shelter, we have to hold only onto the lotus feet of Krishna. And every other promise of shelter is compared to one, there may be many comparisons, but one that Prabhupada explained was trying to swim across the ocean while holding on to the tail of a dog. Have you ever seen a dog swimming in the ocean? Have you? Yamuna. Ah, you saw one. I've seen them swimming, not in the Yamuna. I've seen cows swimming in the Yamuna, but not dogs. But I've seen them in the ocean. And it's such a funny example, actually, when you see a dog swimming in the ocean and imagining, yes, I will swim. Actually, if you go to Jagannath Puri and you swim far enough, jump in the Indian Ocean and you swim far enough, you'll end up in Perth, possibly, where I stay sometimes. But holding to do that, by holding on to the tail of a dog, it appears very ludicrous, especially if you're seeing a dog swimming, the dog paddle in the water. So the only real shelter is Krishna. So this is what we are meant to learn in life. And this is the essence. Smartavyu satatam vishnu vishmartavyanu jatachit. Sarva vidhi nisheda cha itya eva kinkara. All the rules and regulations are servants of this remembrance of Krishna, holding on to Krishna. So in any case, Paranjana's time, his great test was coming because he was dying. We read quite a few of the verses leading up to the moment of his death. We read those verses yesterday, and now, and we even read 22, which I'll read again, and then we shall continue. Although King Paranjana should not have lamented over the fate of his wife and children, there he was at the moment of his death. And Saratat Bhava Bharata, he's going to go in his next life according to what he's remembering right at that moment. And instead of holding on tightly to the lotus feet of Krishna, he's thinking about who is going to maintain my wife, who's going to maintain my family. Now, what's foolish about that? We can say, okay, he has to take care of himself at that point. Okay, that's one side. But what's foolish about that? What's foolish about at the moment of death? After all, they will have trouble. They are going to have trouble. The person who has led them for their whole lives isn't going to be there. So why do we say it's so foolish to be worrying about that at the time of death? Sankirtan Prabhu. Yes, that's one side. But what else? Yes, there you are at the moment of death. Just like that, remember that drama that you put on a few years ago? At the moment of death, you have no prana. Remember, the prana gets driven from the body. You can't even move. You can barely breathe. You can't see. You can't hear. And you're, what happens if you can't talk? Even if you have a brilliant idea of what's going to save them, you can't even tell them. And what a situation. Your family members are all surrounding you. This is talking about for materialists. And they're all crying and crying Some of them are maybe thinking how much money you're going to leave them in your will, and outside crying, but inside their heart is very hard. But some of them are sincerely crying and crying, and you feel terrible because the people you love most, you're causing so much pain to. Such a trap, such a trap. Because then you'll think about them. You'll think about these crying relatives. And then, adishtayam manastayam visha upasevate yam yam vapi smaram bhavam tyanyante kalevaram. Next life. Very dangerous. So he did so due to his miserly, petty intelligence. In the meantime, Yavanaraj, whose name was Fear Itself, immediately drew near to arrest him. Prabhupada says in his purport, everyone, this is just in the beginning of the second paragraph, everyone is afraid of death. And therefore death is called bhaya, or fear. Although King Paranjana was engaged in thinking of his wife and children, death did not wait for him. Death does not wait for any man. It will immediately carry out its duty, since death must take away the living entity without hesitation. It is the ultimate God realization of the atheist. What's the text in Bhagavad Gita? Mrityu Savarascham. Krishna says, I am death. I am unstoppable death. No one can stop me. Things that cannot be stopped are Krishna. Death is the realization, because atheists can live their lives as if they're the center of the universe. Atheists can live their lives as if they're so important that they're powerful, that I am powerful, I am influential. But when confronted with Krishna in the form of death, all that illusion is crushed. All sense of false prestige is crushed. It is the ultimate God realization of the atheists who spoil their lives thinking of country, society, and relatives to the neglect of God consciousness. And again, in the last paragraph, after giving up this body, this is on the other side, one who is fully Krishna conscious does not accept another material body. Prabhupada has just quoted, Janma Karma Chamet Dibhyam. But he returns home back to Godhead. Everyone should try to attain this perfection. Unfortunately, instead of doing so, people are absorbed in thoughts of society, friendship, love, and relatives. Now listen to this little line that Srila Prabhupada has written next. This Krishna consciousness movement, however, is educating people throughout the world and informing them how to conquer death. There'll be another purport where Prabhupada explains the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement. But here is one explaining them how to meet death and conquer death, like Dhruva Maharaj, who stepped upon the head of death to board the airplane to Vaikuntha. Death becomes a stepping stone. Narada Muni, like lightning, the sound of lightning and the bolt, the light flash occurs simultaneously. Similarly, Narada Muni's gross body died and his spiritual body immediately became manifest. So was the death of his material body a terrible thing? A frightening thing? A horrible thing? No. Because his attachment, he spent his whole life in that chapter. What chapter of that is? The sixth chapter in the first canto? Fifth and sixth? Sixth, I think. That chapter is so wonderful because it showed the ideal follower, the ideal disciple, the ideal practitioner from beginning, from Shraddha to Prem, his success, and how he did it, how he wandered fearlessly. And when he actually had darshan of Lord Paramatma within the heart, and then he heard a voice, Hantasmin Dunmane, something, Ivapakwa Kashayanam Dudarshaham Kuyogina, saying that you're not mature, you are pakwa. Apakwa, you are not mature yet in your devotion, so you cannot see me again in this life. And you have kushmalam, you have impurities still in your heart, some impurities, some material attachments. But I've appeared before you to increase your eagerness to see me. So sometimes, even for devotees, Krishna, in the beginning, will give them some special taste. And then maybe you lose that taste. So we think, oh, I'm so unfortunate to have lost that wonderful thing. And in one sense, that's correct. But in another sense, how fortunate is anyone who has gotten any taste, because that taste will keep them going. And Narada Muni proved his good fortune by taking advantage of that. And for the rest of his life, he just simply wandered, detached and chanting, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. This is how to be a devotee. No other desire. Krishna, Krishna. Mahaprabhu showed this. Soon as he took initiation, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna Chandra? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? No other words came from his mouth that is said. Where is Krishna? So, this was not Paranjana's mood at all. And when the Yavanas were taking King Paranjana away, this is text 23, to their place, binding him like an animal, the king's followers became greatly aggrieved. And while they lamented, they were forced to go along with him. The followers of the kings were his desires. So the soul leaves. This is adishtayam manistayam visha upasevate. And in the, he leaves along with the subtle body, which covers him and with his desires, and they will dictate his next body. So everyone goes, we take our desires with us. So therefore we want to minimize our material desires naturally, and maximize our spiritual desires. In fact, we want to make our spiritual desires flame brightly so that they burn to ashes all the material desires. The serpent, that's the prana, life air, who had already been arrested by the soldiers of Yavanaraj was out of the city, began to follow his master along with the others. So this is an allegorical description of the process of death. As soon as they all left the city, it was immediately dismantled and smashed to dust. Now what word? Did any word strike you in that? Yes. Yes, that's the word that struck me. Immediately. And if anyone has ever seen a body, just after there's a body that's dwindling because the body is ill and the soul is near death, and then the soul leaves, And immediately the body begins to decompose. Immediately. So quickly it turns yellow. So quickly it becomes hard. So quickly, first it turns yellow and then sometimes it turns bluish, and it's not a lovely sight at all. And the person has gone. Clearly the person, the life, the soul has gone. And immediately it's just matter. No more alive than this desk, this microphone stand. Dead. The life has gone. And immediately that thing that was sustaining the body, that we identify, oh, that's the person. The person leaves and the body is there, and it immediately begins to decompose. Very, very, very heavy. It's very shocking, always. Always shocking. It is immediately dismantled and smashed to dust. This is the last heavy Bhagavatam class. Then it lightens up a little bit after this. We've been in the land of heavy Bhagavatam classes for the last week and a half. Prabhupada's purport. But this, the idea is that this should give us some sobriety, some soberness. What does sober mean? What is the opposite word for sober? Frivolous, yes, but in the common sense, intoxicated. Yes, certainly frivolous, intoxicated. And what is an intoxicated person? No proper perspective. Frivolous, crazy, foolish. We should not be frivolous and crazy and intoxicated and foolish. These things are here to help to sober us. Because we want to use life. It is in our own interest to use our life to gain that thing which only a human life can give us. Dharman bhagavatani ha durlabham manushya janma tarapadruvam artadam, Prahlad says. Durlabham, this is rare, so we should get the greatest gift from this life. We should try, anyway, try. Why settle for something useless and insignificant? Let us try. This is what Prabhupada said, the purpose of the Krishna Consciousness Movement is to educate people and to provide a facility so that serious persons or persons who are not serious can become sober. And then persons who are sober can become very, very deep. Very, very deep and lofty. Deep and lofty in their Krishna consciousness. And actually develop love for Krishna. When the living entity is arrested, Prabhupada says, all his followers, namely the life air, the senses and sense objects, immediately leave the lump of matter, the body. The lump of matter. A lump of matter. The body. If you think about it, just for a moment, think that, not that I want to ruin your day, but I will anyway. Just think of at your funeral, and there are different ways that human beings dispose of dead bodies. But think of your own body. It's your own body. It's either being buried in a coffin. Think of your own body being buried in a coffin, or burnt, or thrown in the Yamuna, sometimes parts of it, for turtle food, or the Jains feed the body, leave the body out so at least the dogs and the vultures can have a meal and something useful. When you think about that being your own body, Parsis, how does it feel if you think of that being your body? How does it feel? How do you feel? Do you You feel relief. You've had a good day today, huh? Does anyone feel a tinge of anxiety when you think about that? Yeah. This is due to bodily attachment. But it's going to happen. And if we're attached to our bodies, just see how much anxiety we are in for. So therefore, these sections are meant to break our attachment to the body and increase our attachment to Krishna. That comes also some wonderful prayers that Mother Narayani will be speaking on, and the prayers of Lord Shiva. There'll be some wonderful points on that. But we want to increase our attachment to Krishna. That is the real point. We want to increase our attachment to Krishna. But the attachment to the body and wanting to be the center of the universe, it's incompatible with loving Krishna. So this has to be smashed. Prabhupada continues. When a city attacked by enemies is vacated by its inhabitants, the enemy immediately takes advantage of that city and bombards it to smash the whole thing to dust. When we say, dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return, we refer to the body. When a city is attacked and bombarded by enemies, the citizens generally leave, and the city ceases to exist. It is a foolish person who engages in improving the condition of a city without caring for the citizens or inhabitants. Similarly, a living entity who is not properly enlightened in spiritual knowledge simply takes care of the external body, not knowing that the spirit soul is the principal factor within the body. And then the final paragraph of this purport. Human civilization devoid of Krishna consciousness is simply a civilization of lower animals. Sometimes a civilization may study the dead body and consider the brain or the heart. However, no part of the body is important unless the spirit soul is present. In a modern civilization of cows and asses, scientists try to search out some value in the brain or heart of a dead man. But the point being that the real issue is the life, the soul, the person. 25. When King Paranjana was being dragged with great force by the powerful Yavana, out of his gross ignorance, he still could not remember his friend and well-wisher, the super soul, right in the beginning. Avigyataha. In the beginning, the first person that we were introduced to in this analogy was Paranjana's unknown friend. Was it Avigyata? It was in the first chapter. The super soul, the unknown one. He is with us. Savasya Chamride Sanavisto. He's with us. There is a super soul. He is with us. And Paranjana could not remember him, his shelter. So he could not remember his friend and well-wisher, the super soul. And this was out of his gross ignorance. So if gross ignorance causes us an inability to remember Krishna, then true knowledge, enlightenment, means the ability to always remember Krishna and never forget him. This is light, Krishna Surya Sam. This is light. When we're always able to remember Krishna. And even though he was in difficult circumstances, his ignorance caused him a disability to remember Krishna. But another person in difficult circumstances who's enlightened will remember Krishna. So it's not the circumstances that cause us to remember or forget Krishna. It is not the externals, it's the light, enlightenment that one carries within one's consciousness. So by the time of death, we should use our life to become enlightened, to have our consciousness illumined by Krishna. And we should see the difficulties that Krishna so kindly gives to us as opportunities to remember Krishna, to push us to Krishna, to make us sober, to break our frivolousness, to break our pride. But Paranjana, Suridam Savabhutanam, this is Krishna within the heart. Surit, very near and dear friend. Not Saka even, but Surit, close to the heart friend. This is Krishna. And it takes developing this is intimacy in our relationship with Krishna, to know that he is always near and dear, and that we are always in his hands, and he never abandons us. But this does not come cheaply. But we will need deep expertise in this realization, if no other time than at the time of death. And if one has this in his life, then he is in the spiritual world, practically speaking, even though he may superficially appear to be in the material world. Prabhupada, in his purport to 25, the living entity must turn towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead and surrender unto him. Only then will he be saved from the onslaught of the powerful Yavana or Yamaraj. The word Sakyam, friend, is very significant in this verse because God is eternally present beside the living entity. The Supreme Lord is also described as Suridam, ever well-wisher. The Supreme Lord is always a well-wisher, just like a father or mother. Despite all the offenses of a son, the father and mother are always the son's well-wisher. Similarly, despite all our offenses and defiance of the desires of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord will give us immediate relief from all the hardships offered by material nature if we simply surrender unto him, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, mam eva ye papadyante mayam etan tarantite. Unfortunately, due to our bad association and great attachment for sense gratification, we do not remember our best friend, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. 26. That most unkind king, Paranjana, had killed many animals in various sacrifices. Now remember that Prachini Barishat had been performing one sacrifice after the next, after the next, after the next, after the next, and Narada Muni came to stop him. So he's saying, this unkind King Paranjana had killed many animals in various sacrifices. Now, taking advantage of this opportunity, all these animals began to pierce him with their horns. It was as though he was being cut to pieces by axes. We should take advantage of this wonderful verse and just glimpse, just maybe we shouldn't take advantage of it, but cut to pieces by axes.
just the pain.
So is Narada Muni being kind to Prachini Bahishat and us by speaking so graphically? Cut to pieces by axes for the inappropriate, harmful, unkind pain he caused other living entities. He's being extremely kind because he wants to awaken in his heart some lamentation, and he wants a change in his consciousness. He wants a change in his consciousness, and he's cutting. He's cutting. Like Vidura, who's hearing this, will soon go back to Dhritarashtra and cut until Dhritarashtra leaves home. He'll insult him. He'll say, "You are eating the food like you're a dog, a household dog, scraps of food thrown to you by Bhima, who has killed each and every one of your 100 sons, and who you would like to kill, he's throwing you scraps of food and you're eating them like a dog." Insulting him. Because he wants a change in heart. Due to his contaminated association with women, what does that mean? I'll read the rest of the text and then I'm going to ask you, what does this contaminated association with women mean? Due to his contaminated association with women, a living entity like King Paranjana eternally suffers all the pangs of material existence and remains in the dark region of material life, bereft of all remembrance for many, many years. What does it mean, contaminated association with women? Okay. For sense gratification, yeah. But association for sense gratification. In other words, maintaining this spirit that I am the enjoyer. Aham bogi, Ishwaraham. Because as soon as you want to be the enjoyer, you have to be the Ishwara, the controller too. Siddham. And more bluffing comes. So his mood was so materialistic. Association with others to exploit them. And this tendency is there in conditioned souls, certainly. But it brings very unpleasant results. Prabhupada will speak about this in his purport, so please listen. This is a description of material existence. Material existence is experienced when one becomes attached to a woman and forgets his real identity as the eternal servant of Krishna. Nashta Smriti. In this way, in one body after another, the living entity perpetually suffers the threefold miseries of material existence. To save human civilization from the darkness of ignorance, this movement was started. Why was this movement started? From the darkness of ignorance. And what is ignorance? Yes, and what is the real identity? Yes, so Krishna Suryasam, Maya Haya Andhakar. Maya causes this darkness, a forgetfulness of who we are. And Krishna, associating with Krishna, with the Bhagavat, Bhagavan and Bhagavat, then we understand who we are. And who are we? Jiva Sarup, our identity as Krishna's servant. This is who we are. It is insufficient to even say that we are spirit souls. It is insufficient, incomplete, until we say we are Krishna's eternal servant. We are in relationship with Krishna. Hari, can you put this up a bit? So the main purpose to save human civilization from the darkness of ignorance, this movement was started. The main purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement is to enlighten the forgetful living entity and remind him of his original Krishna consciousness. Krishna bhavita, Krishna bhakti rasita bhavato mati, our Krishna consciousness. Awaken our relationship with Krishna. Awaken to the sweet taste of our relationship with Krishna. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavato mati. So this is Prabhupada's Krishna consciousness, again, is Prabhupada's translation of this Krishna bhakti ras bhavato mati. In this way, the living entity can be saved from the catastrophe of ignorance as well as bodily transmigration. Catastrophe, very strong word. Ignorance is compared to a catastrophe, a disaster, a complete disaster, because it ruins the most valuable thing, the great jewel of one's human life. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur has sung, Anadi Karma Fal Padi Bhavarnava Jale Tari Bare Nadeki Upai Evishaya Halahai Halahali Diva Nishihiya Jale Mana Kabu Sukanahi Pai. Because of my past fruit of activities, I have now fallen into an ocean of nescience. I cannot find any means to get out of this great ocean, which is indeed like an ocean of poison. Perhaps if we wish to get out, we can hold on to the tail of a dog. But that, as we have heard, will not be sufficient. We are trying to be happy through sense enjoyment, but actually that so-called enjoyment is like food that is too hot and causes burning in the heart. I feel a burning sensation constantly, day and night, and thus my mind cannot find any satisfaction. And the final verse we shall read today. King Paranjana gave up his body while remembering his wife, and consequently, in his next life, he became a very beautiful and well-situated woman. He took his next birth as the daughter of King Vidarbha in the very house of the king. Here's Prabhupada's purport. Since King Paranjana thought of his wife at the time of death, he attained the body of a woman in his next birth. This verifies the following verse in Bhagavad Gita, which is, everyone, whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, that state he will attain without fail, sada, tadbhava. Sada means always, this is the rule, tadbhava, whatever mood, bhavita, whatever mood he has, that is what he will attain. What is in his consciousness, that he will attain when he quits his body. Tyajan yanti kalevaram. When a living entity is accustomed to think of a particular subject matter or become absorbed in a certain type of thought, he will think of that subject at the time of death. Did anyone hear that one carefully? Anyone remember that sentence? Should I read it again? Listen carefully. Because this is in so much the importance of where our consciousness is during our life. When a living entity is accustomed to think of a particular subject matter or become absorbed in a certain type of thought, he will think of that subject at the time of death. Somehow, even before I started chanting, when I was young, Somehow I knew, maybe it must have been common knowledge or common understanding, and you can tell me if you also understood the same thing, that somehow I knew that at the time of death, your whole life flesh comes before into your consciousness. Is that commonly understood? Yes? Yes? Everywhere, yes? Not in France or Mauritius or wherever it was. Yes? Mataji? Did you know that? And then, it's a fact, and then what one is attached to, or even sometimes what one is terribly afraid of, the mind will fix on that. Because at the time of death, it's not that one is peaceful and can easily say, oh, now I will choose what I will think of, and even though I like this and like that, now I think it's a good time that I think about what's important to me really, and what is really important to me. I think I should think of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Yes, it's a good idea if I do this. No, one doesn't have that type of a freedom. Yes, exactly. One is in terror, usually, and pain, and the life airs are unbalanced with so much pain. So there is this one will grab onto something for shelter. So therefore, we should be sober about where we place our consciousness and where we develop attachments in this life. It is consequential for us all. It is in our own best interest. At the time of death, Prabhupada continues, one will think of the subject that has occupied his life while he was awake. So if we're always thinking how to get money, how to get money, then naturally, that's, we're thinking of that as our shelter. It's going to protect us. If we're thinking of one type of enjoyment or another type of enjoyment, our consciousness will naturally go there. And if we're thinking, if we practice in our life to take shelter of Krishna with great faith and affection because he's our dearest friend, then our consciousness will naturally go there. So think of the subject that has occupied his life while he was awake, lightly sleeping or dreaming, or while he was deeply sleeping. After falling from the association of the Supreme Lord, the living entity thus transmigrates from one body, bodily form to another according to nature's course until he finally attains the human form. So this Prabhupada's purports, he said it one time, we've heard many times that he said these were his ecstasies. But also, this is his association. And also, this is his plea. His pleas to us. To please take these words very seriously. If he, after so much transmigration, is absorbed in material thoughts and ignorant of spiritual life, and if he does not take shelter under the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and what name does he use here? See if you can guess, Mother Naraini. Yes, you can. Please try. Who do you want to say? Anybody. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, anybody, who solves all questions. No, he says Govinda. Who named the Supreme Personality of Godhead Govinda? Indra. But actually, Surabhi. Yes? Surabhi, at the same time, after the Govardhan episode was completed. Because Indra was rejected, practically speaking, by all the cows, because instead of protecting them, he tried to kill them by bringing so much rainfall down upon Vrindavan, trying to devastate them. So Sarabhi said, you be our Indra, you be our protector of the cows. You take care of us. You take care of us, Krishna, Govinda. So if he has absorbed the material thoughts, so here is Prabhupada's plea, and if he does not take shelter under the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, who solves all questions of birth and death, he will become a woman in his next life, especially if he thinks of his wife. If that's where the attachment is, so now we understand why all the women and men, they exchange places, life after life, birth after birth. The husbands become attached to their wives, takes birth as women. The women become attached to their husbands, takes birth as men. And then the struggle goes on. Who is going to overlord? Who's going to be the boss? But really, life's purpose is to take shelter and develop attachment for Govinda. And it's very interesting how previously in Prabhupada's purports, just before speaking about Paranjana, Prabhupada does not condemn householder life. What he condemns is the mentality of overlordship, of thinking that one is the enjoyer, and using householder life for that, as opposed to using it as a proper methodology of developing one's love for Krishna, for Govinda. Because everything else at the time of death will prove to be the tail of a dog only, not worthy of holding on to. I know one householder couple who, they got married under the most peculiar circumstances in one sense. She knew something very significant was going to happen in her life, and she went to, I can't remember, some place in Nepal, maybe near Kathmandu, one holy place, and then she met an Indian gentleman just there, and she understood that fate had arranged them to get married, and they ended up getting married. But they never got along very well after that. But they stayed married for 35, 40 years. And then she went to an astrologer and she said, you two have been married and exchanging places for the last 14 births. Soon as she met this person, she knew that they'd have to get married. And he immediately, somehow or another... 14 births. This is what happens. This type of, you owe me this, and then I owe you that, and then you owe me this, and you help me here, and I have to pay you back. You hurt me, I have to get even with you. You argued with me in your last life, now I'm going to argue with you. You were an unsubmissive wife, now I'm going to be an unsubmissive wife. You were a terrible husband, now I'm going to show you what it's like. Back and forth and back and forth. You were a terrible father, now I'm going to be your father and show you. On and on and on. 14, how many? So say 50 years, that's 700 years, say, and that's at 50. 700 to 1,000 years getting back at each other, practically speaking. And getting even. And paying back the kindness, too. 1,000 years. So therefore, Mahaprabhu, his suggestion was just whatever situation you find yourself in, don't try to get back, don't try to get even, don't try to change a lot of things. Just develop, accept your fate, accept your situation, accept the suffering that is due to you, accept the enjoyment, but don't take either the suffering or the enjoyment seriously. But just hear about Krishna and develop your love for Krishna. But it takes a very strong person to accept their fate. Very strongly Krishna conscious person to accept their fate. Because naturally we have romantic dreams of what we wish our fate should be. And if we keep up dreaming, that dreaming will carry us to our next life. Brahmanda Brahmate Konya Bhagavanjeev. Forever. So just chant Hare Krishna, hear, water the creeper of devotional service and become very strongly attached to Govinda, who solves all questions of birth and death. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Karmana Daivanaitrena, a living entity acts piously and impiously and sometimes in both ways. All actions are taken into account and the living entity is offered a new body by his superiors. Although King Paranjana was overly attached to his wife, he nonetheless performed many pious activities. Consequently, although he took the form of a woman, he was given a chance to be the daughter of a powerful king. So now we have completed that life of Paranjana, and now the mood and emphasis will shift. Thank you. So you should hope you have a very sweet and pleasant death. This is what it means. It's because the mind resists. I know this very well, unfortunately. When there's tension and difficulty, my mind resists taking shelter of Krishna. This is the anadi bahimukh, the aversion, a long, long time aversion to Krishna. So that's specifically what you should work on. So that means that one has to control one's... Yeah, one has to say, I don't care that you have... Despite the fact that you have an aversion, my dear mind, to remembering Krishna now because you're under tension, I have to do this. I have to chant Krishna's names. I have to pray to Krishna to help me. If you can do that, then you're extremely blessed. And then you'll be safe wherever you are. Jivatiyo, you have to see Krishna's mercy in it. And then those difficult circumstances will train you to remember Krishna will turn out to be your best friend. The best of friends, and then you will see that Krishna had given you that. And then you'll see the person or circumstances as Krishna's personal care for you. But it's easier to sit up here and preach to others about it than when it's happening. I know that. But yet, this is the test that we all have to take. It's not just God. At the end of life, the mind, therefore, Dushtamana, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Raghunath, they all pray to the mind. Narottama Das Thakur, they all pray to the mind. So in different moods, some, oh, wicked mind, cruel, some, oh, my dear mind, little flattery. But we have to confront the most formidable of enemies, the mind. And if you can confront the mind and win that battle, then you are the greatest of warriors. One is the greatest of warriors. That's the definition of deep sleep.
I try to stay awake and remember Krishna. Just kind of practice. Because it's a time loss, 6 hours are
just between. But I find also if you don't take those hours, then it's 24 hours lost with a foggy mind, too. You have to be practical according to your capacity.
So
what is your question?
Well, should I avoid that?
What's the practical answer to your question?
That's what you already said.
What's the practical?
Well, if my I train myself to be sitting with Krishna in a house, house retreat leads to unalertness during the day.
And terrible service. And falling asleep in Bhagavatam class in Japa.
So I go it the other way. I want to have a good, deep sleep, and then I'm going to Japa.
It's very intelligent. It's very intelligent. Yes. That's practical. You see, this is theoretical, but we always have to be practical. Always have to be practical. Practical intelligence, how to apply. That's wisdom, vigyan. Any other questions or comments? Not much, only another minute or two. Yes? The question is, after someone's already left his body and the body is there, you didn't, and you're, is there anything you can do to still help the person? Yeah. I know I got a concern from water and things, and of course the religious rituals surrounding the disposal of the body, they help. And always chanting Hare Krishna is helpful. Yeah? Take the ashes to
Hare Krishna. Shastri says that if you, while burning the body, you put tulsi in the body.
And then we also, the departed soul after 3 days and after 2 weeks and sometimes after a year also and again, some prasadam is offered to the deities and then the Vaishnavas, and then the prasadam is offered to a picture of that person, and then the Vaishnavas are given prasadam and beg them to please pray and bless the departed person. That's things that we do. Okay, class over. Class dismissed. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhaktivedanta ki jai.